It is now time for
the What You Talking About Willis Show.
What you talking about?
What you talking about? What you talking about, Willis?
With your host, Ryan Wacky Willis. Idiot. Right here on Call It Primetime Radio.
Hello, wacky listener. My name is Ryan Wacky Willis, and this is the very famous and popular What You Talking About Willis Show on Call It Primetime Radio. Yes! I am super excited about this new opportunity with College Primetime Radio. Yes, this is my very first show. And what this show is going to be mostly all about is college hoops and college foosball. Oh, yes, get pumped. Because every week, starting right now, I will be bringing you the wackiness that is college hoops and college football. Are you ready for this? I sure hope so. So what is going on right now in college football? Nothing really, huh? Right. Okay. What about college basketball? Let's see. It's March. Gosh. Are there even any games going on in the month of March for college basketball? Oh, wait a minute. I know what this music means. It's March Madness! Zing! I knew that. Or did I? Yes, it is March Madness, the most exciting time of the year in college basketball. I'm just going to throw this out there. I think it's the most exciting time of the year for any college sport. I think it's more exciting than college football, you know, the Final Four championship game and all that. I think it's much more exciting than college baseball, the World Series, just throwing that out there as well. I just think nothing can top March Madness. It is just unbelievable what we see every single year in these tournaments, in these games. It's just unreal. Unbelievable. So what do we love the most about March Madness? Well, for me, it's the upsets. It's when the little guys, the little schools, take on the big boys, if you will, the big schools, and they take them down. Down with the big schools, right? Well, maybe. But that's how I feel. I get really pumped when the small schools play the big schools and they actually win the upsets. That's what I live for. And boy, have we seen quite a few upsets so far in the NCAA tournament. Let's first start with the number 14 seed Georgia State against number 3 Baylor. How many of you out there had Baylor going to at least the Sweet 16?
Yeah. Well, I'm just not sure about that right now.
That's what I thought. Probably about 95% of you, right? But Georgia State won the game 57-56, a nail biter. Then you had UAB, who was also a 14 seed. And they took on a number 3 seed, Iowa State. Now, how many of you out there had Iowa State making it to at least the Sweet 16? Again, probably the majority of you. Looking at my bracket right now, let's see here. Well, what do you know? Look at that. I had Baylor going to the Sweet 16, and I had Iowa State going to the Elite Eight. Where's Homer Simpson when I need him? Don't! Unbelievable. But I mean, come on. I would think that the majority of you out there picked those two to go far just like I did. Why wouldn't you? UAB defeated Iowa State 60-59. Another one-point contest. You kidding me? Now, this game maybe wasn't a huge upset because Ohio State, they're always one of the big boys, right? But they were a 10 seed, and they took down the 7 seed VCU 75-72. Remember, VCU last year had that great run, went deep into the tournament. They got bounced right off the bat. Now, probably the most controversial game up until this point, I would have to say, was the UCLA game versus SMU. SMU was leading 59-57. Bruins' Bryce Alford put up a three-point shot that appeared to be offline. Then as the ball was coming down, SMU center Yannick Moreira, am I pronouncing that right? Moreira, maybe that's how you say it, was in position and seemed to time his leap perfectly as he went up to touch the ball. But the officials thought that Moreira touched it too early and called goaltending. Automatic 3 points rewarded, giving UCLA a 60-59 lead with 13 seconds left. So even though that was a heartbreaking call for SMU, they still had 13 seconds left to try to put up a basket, get the shot, win the game. They had two shot attempts, but could not connect. Oh, my goodness. Ball game, UCLA 60, SMU 59. Such a brutal way to lose a ball game. And what a heck of a year for SMU. They came into the tournament as a 6 seed. Anybody know who their head coach is? It's Larry freaking Brown. The guy has bounced around with how many different teams during his career? I mean, he's coached in the NBA. He's coached in college. He's probably coached middle school for all I know. Larry Brown can never stay with a team for longer than a few years, it seems like. But what a great job. I had to give him props. What a great job he has done with SMU, the Mustangs. But they lost the game. I have a question, though. Because from my point of view, it sure looked like the ball was going to hit off the side of the rim. But either way, my question is, how can this not be reviewable? Because I wasn't even aware that this type of play, goaltending, was not reviewable. Why isn't it reviewable? Can somebody answer that for me? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, especially in the NCAA tournament, this absolutely, are you kidding me with 13 seconds left in the game and you can't review something like that? That's got to be changed immediately. Look, maybe it was the right call. Maybe I'm as blind as a bat. Well, I already know that. That's why I need glasses. Lol. But I don't know. From what I've been hearing, whew, tough call to make. Very tough call to make. So, the interesting thing about UCLA, they weren't even supposed to be in the tournament. Seriously, they finished the regular season 20-13, and they had some bad losses on their schedule during the regular season, like losing to Colorado and Oregon State. I wasn't even aware that those two schools still had a basketball program going on. Zinger! No, but seriously, they lost to those two, and they were 20-13 on the year. That's very mediocre, especially for UCLA. Yet the tournament committee decided to put them in because they were, quote, gaining momentum. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean they happened to win a couple of games down the stretch and was like, wow, oh man, they're hitting their stride now. This is UCLA basketball with John Wooden in the works. How can we leave them out of the tournament? I don't know. I didn't get that. I really just did not understand that one. But look, they won their first matchup. And then in the next round, did they win again? Did they advance to the Sweet 16? Well, I'll tell you coming up in a little bit from now. But to sum up the first round, or I guess technically the second round, since the first round is now the play-in games, pure madness, pandemonium. You had a little bit of everything. You had your upsets. You had your close games. Example, Louisville barely beat UC Irvine 57-55. Louisville! Didn't they just win it all a couple years ago? Rick Pitino's their head coach. They barely beat UC Irvine. Nothing against UC Irvine. But we're talking about Rick Pitino in Louisville? They only won by 2 points. North Carolina had all sorts of problems with Harvard. Yes, Harvard! The Brainiacs! They squeaked by 67-65. Heck of an effort by Harvard. Cincinnati beat Purdue 66-65 in overtime. What a great game that was. Pretty evenly matched. In all, five games in the second round of the tournament were decided by one single point. Five games in the second round. Has that ever happened before? Ugh. I probably should have looked that up before my show started. Oh, wells. But seriously, you get what I'm saying. Five games that was decided by 1 point. Unreal. You also, of course, had your blowouts. For all of you that aren't interested in good quality basketball games, you had Kentucky, the undefeated Wildcats, spanking, the University of Hampton, 79-56, and Duke beat up Robert Morris University, 85-56. Both of those schools are the one seed. Coincidence? I think not. This is what makes March Madness my favorite sporting event of the year, especially in college sports, like I said earlier. Because nobody has any idea how any of these games are going to turn out. All these so-called experts, their brackets are usually no better than yours or mine. Because there's so much uncertainty. You don't know how each team is going to handle the pressure of the tournament until they get in. Some have no problems with it at all, like Kentucky and Duke. But others choke. They don't know how to handle it. It's foreign territory to them. Bottom line is, it is must-see TV. It is reality TV at its finest. Now, moving on. And again, you are listening to the What You Talking About Willis Show on College Primetime Radio. I am your host, Ryan Wacky Willis. We are talking NCAA hoops because it's the month of March, which means March Madness. The round of 32. Not quite as many surprises, but we definitely still saw the upsets, did we not? First, probably the best game of the third round. Number 3, Notre Dame beats number 6, Butler, in overtime, 67-64. Heck of a game. What a great game that was. Excellent contest. You got to love the overtime games. Real quickly, Butler University, major props to them. I mean, I know they lost this game, but what a program they have there now. I mean, Brad Stevens, the young kid who was their coach for several years, he built them into really a powerhouse. I mean, Butler made it to 2 national championship games. Didn't win either one of them, but still, Butler University, a very, very small school, every year now, just about, they're in the tournament and making a run. You got to love seeing that. Now, the upsets. because I know how much you love the upsets. What's that? Oh, that was me that loves the upsets. Okay. Okay. I see what you're saying. Number 8 seeded North Carolina State. They defeated number 1 Villanova 71-68. The Villanova Wildcats were 33-3 during the regular season, and North Carolina State won. But this was a game that I was pretty happy about. Why? Because North Carolina State was my sleeper pick of this tournament. I have North Carolina State, believe it or not, and if you want me to, I'll even take a picture of my bracket just to prove it to you, but I have North Carolina State going all the way to the Final Four. Now, I must admit, I probably only watched like one or two games this entire season of North Carolina State basketball. But from what I was hearing, this team is talented. They are quick. They can shoot. They play decent defense. And Villanova, I don't know. I just wasn't buying Villanova. Even though they only lost 3 games all year, the last few years, you know, they've been kind of inconsistent in the tournament. So I figured, look, you got to have at least one sleeper team, do you not? You had to have at least one team that's like a 6 or 7 seed or higher, or in this case, North Carolina State is a 8 seed. You got to have one of those type of teams make a deep run when you're filling out your bracket. And North Carolina State, for me, was that team. So I'm feeling pretty good about that because now they're in the Sweet 16 and they're going to be squaring off against Louisville. Should be a heck of a game. More upsets. Michigan State. I don't know if this is really much of an upset. Michigan State, they are the 7th seed. They held off the 2 seed Virginia Cavaliers 60-54. Virginia was 30-4 during their regular season. The Spartans were 25-11. Kind of sounds similar to UCLA's record, right? UCLA was 20-13. Michigan State was 25-11. Not a whole heck of a lot better, right? Are you starting to see why I love this tournament so much? Are you finally starting to understand what I'm talking about? Oh, you already did know what I was talking about. Rival. It doesn't matter how many games you win in the regular season. It's all about the tournament, baby. But obviously, you got to get there first. Now, like I was saying, even though this game was technically an upset, how can you be surprised that Virginia got bounced that early? Now, I watched a lot of Virginia's games during the season, and they were very inconsistent offensively. One of the best defensive teams in all of college basketball. Top 5 squad, right? But offensively, man, they just, I don't know what it was. They just really were off. It seemed like almost every other game, but it was their defense that bailed them out. But not this time. Because you're going against Michigan State. And who is the head coach of Michigan State? The correct answer is Tom Izzo. This is the 4th straight year that Izzo and the Spartans have made it to the Sweet 16. Yes, the 4th straight year. He's also made it to the tournament 17 straight seasons. I didn't even think that was legal in that part of the country. No. Tom Izzo, pretty underrated coach. I mean, when we're talking about some of the best college basketball coaches of all time, or even just right now, you always hear about Mike Krzyzewski, John Calipari, Rick Pitino, and understandably so. But Tom Izzo, he needs to be mentioned more. He really does. I mean, 17 straight years that his team has made the tournament, unheard of. Now, a game that I paid very close attention to was Duke, who, like I mentioned earlier, they were a 1 seed, facing off against the 8 seeded San Diego State Aztecs. Now, the reason why I was paying so close attention to this game was because I live here in San Diego. So I get to see the Aztecs play more than anybody. They finished 27-9 during the regular season. They were co-champions of the Mountain West along with Boise State. And then they lost to the Wyoming Cowboys in the Mountain West Conference Tournament Championship game by 2 points. So that was a bummer. But still, another heck of a year by the Aztecs. And SDSU has really become a powerhouse in college basketball over the last handful of years. And it really begins and ends with head coach Steve Fisher. Last year, they made it to the Sweet 16 and lost a close one to Arizona. This year's team was second overall in college basketball in total defense. But they were horrible offensively. Now that I think about it, very similar to Virginia. Both just some of the best defense you will see in college basketball. That's how both of these schools will play. They're tough, they're physical, but offensively, where's the pure shooter when you need one, right? The Aztecs really didn't have a pure shooter, unfortunately. That's ultimately what cost them against Duke. The Aztecs just couldn't make baskets. Not to mention, Duke has the best player and number one pick in this year's NBA draft. He's going to be, because he's going to enter the draft. And whoever has that first pick in the NBA will most certainly take them. If they don't, they're a bunch of morons.
Idiot.
Jahlil Okafor. I knew this kid was great, but I hadn't really watched a full Duke game this year. And I came out feeling utterly amazed by what I saw. He just totally dominated. He had 26 points. Again, can you say NBA?
Yeah. Well, I'm just not sure about that right now.
Now, as amazing as Okafor was and is, and believe me, he's incredible, it's not just all about Okafor when it comes to Duke. The Blue Devils are as stacked as anybody, except for Kentucky. Duke has Okafor, forward Justice Winston, who's a hell of a player, senior guard Quinn Cook, phenom freshman guard Tyus Jones. I mean, these are all NBA caliber players. But then there are the undefeated Kentucky Wildcats. They have leading scorer Aaron Harrison and Devin Booker, Karl Anthony Towns, Willie Cauley-Stein, and oh yeah, they have a 7-footer in Kakari Johnson. And how tall is Jahlil Okafor? I'm pretty sure he's 7 foot as well. Why am I talking so much about Duke and Kentucky? Well, other than the fact that they probably have the most NBA talent combined out of everyone, it's because I picked them to face off in the championship game. Yes, that's right. Wacky Willis has Kentucky and Duke squaring off in the national championship game. I have it right here. You hear that? This is my bracket. I'm waving it in the air right now. Oh, sorry about that. I hit my microphone with it. Ooh, not good, Ryan, not good. This is very expensive equipment. I do not have the pockets to replace it. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and put my bracket down.
Yeah.
Down, Ryan. Yes, Kentucky and Duke. That's who I'm picking in the national championship game. And I'm sure a lot of you out there are as well. You know, I mean, why wouldn't you? It makes the most sense. I think if both teams play even just average basketball from this point on, they will for sure meet up in the finals. I mean, they don't even have to play their best basketball. I mean, look at Kentucky's game against Cincinnati, for instance, in the third round. I mean, Cincinnati, they played a really good, inspired game. I mean, they were tough. They were physical. I mean, they were not afraid by Kentucky at all. And Kentucky, they didn't play their best game, but they still won. They still won. And they haven't lost all year. How can you pick against them? I know I've been talking about upsets this entire show and how much I love them, but Kentucky's undefeated for a reason here, folks. It's because they're just incredible. And John Calipari, probably the best head coach in all of college basketball right now. And oh yeah, over on the other side with the Duke Blue Devils, you got Coach K. What does he have? 5,000 trillion million wins? Okay, he's got over 1,000. But seriously, how impressive is that? Duke and Kentucky should square off in the championship game. Unless they just flat out cannot make a basket and the other team, whoever that may be, can't miss and they make like every single shot and they shoot like 90% from the court, they should win no problem in my opinion. They're just that good. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm wrong. Have I been wrong before? Yeah. Yeah. Believe me, I've been wrong. Probably about every day of my life, I want to say. So if Kentucky and Duke both end up losing before they get to the championship game, or even just one of them does lose, I do apologize, dear. So don't take what I'm saying to Vegas and bet your house on it. Please do not do that because I do not want to be held responsible for that. However, what I am telling you is, again, if they even just play average basketball from this point forward until the championship game, they should be fine. That's what Ryan Wacky Willis thinks. How about you? Now, I mentioned earlier that UCLA, they won their first game against SMU. And then, my friend, in the second round, third round, getting my rounds confused, they squared off against, where is it? I just had it here. Where are you? Oh, here it is. They squared off against UAB. Remember we talked about UAB. They were a 14 seed. They defeated the number 3 seeded Iowa State. So you got an 11 seed against a 14 seed to see who goes to the Sweet 16. And who won? It was the UCLA Bruins. I'm serious. The UCLA Bruins. They defeated UAB and they are going to the Sweet 16. I mean, how can you predict this? UCLA, again, I can't emphasize this enough. The Bruins had no business being selected to go and play in the NCAA tournament. Sorry, Bruins fans. Why are you getting all bent out of shape about what I'm saying? I'm Wacky Willis. I don't know anything. But I'm just telling you right now, UCLA should not be in the tournament, yet they're going to the Sweet 16. Oh, yeah. Can you believe it? I can't. It's just unbelievable. They will be going against Gonzaga. The Gonzaga Bulldogs, who are a 2 seed. Wow. Did not see that coming. And it's funny because I have Gonzaga only going to the Sweet 16. But I had them losing to Iowa State, who again, they got beat right off the bat. So, wow. Can UCLA pull off the upset? Can they keep this magic carpet ride going? Can they beat Gonzaga?
Yeah. Well, I'm just not sure about that right now.
Two more games than I thought that they would win. Yes. I do believe that UCLA can beat Gonzaga. Also, not to mention that Gonzaga kind of has a history of not getting much farther in the tournament past the Sweet 16. Usually once they get to the Sweet 16, that's kind of when the brakes kind of fall out, if you will. But look, Gonzaga's a hell of a team. Not going to take anything away from them. I'm going to pick Gonzaga to win this game, even though I have them losing in the Sweet 16 game. But if you would have told me that they were going to face UCLA, obviously I would have had them go into the Elite Eight. But considering that I think that UCLA, in a way, they've gotten kind of lucky because SMU, yeah, they had a heck of a year, very good team, but this was the first time they were in the tournament since the early 90s. So none of those players have any experience playing in the tournament. And then they went against UAB the next round, who had a higher seed than they did. So they were favored to win that game, and they did. They took care of business. I give them credit for that. But Gonzaga, they're a whole other animal. I mean, you could have made an argument for them being a one seed to start this tournament. So I'm going to go with Gonzaga. But again, if UCLA wins, I might as well just say after that, hey, they're going to win it all. Listen, this has been a lot of fun. Great first show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. To look us up, please do. You can find us on Facebook at College Primetime Radio. You can also look us up on Twitter. Again, that's College Primetime Radio. If you want to connect with me in particular, and why wouldn't you, right? Look me up on Facebook at facebook.com/TheRyanWillisShow. Ryan, R-Y-A-N, Willis, W-I-L-L-I-S, show. No, I'm not going to spell out show for you because you're smarter than that. Come on now. S-H-O-W. All righto. I will be talking to you next week. We will be recapping this weekend that is coming up, the Sweet 16. We'll be breaking that down for you next week right here on the What You Talking About Willis Show, College Primetime Radio. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.